Hello and welcome to episode 16 of It's Funny Now, stories you're glad didn't happen to you. My name is Frank Trainer. I'm the creator and producer of the show where people tell stories that maybe were embarrassing, cringy, terrifying, shameful, disgusting, even sad sometimes when they happened. But with the help of time, we can say it's funny now. Our show is recorded live at The Crow in Santa Monica, California. It happens every second Tuesday of the month. And on this podcast, you will hear the best stories to come out of that stage. And in fact, today is Friday when I'm recording this. And this week, we had the last show of 2023 at The Crow. And it was a great show. I gotta be honest, for the first time since we started the show in the summer of 2022, the ticket sale count was very low and the show was about to start, and then out of nowhere a lot of people showed up and we had yet another great crowd for our live show. So I invite you to come back to our show next year. We're coming back on January 9th. You can find more information about that on our website, itsfunnynowstorytelling.com. On today's episode, we have Vicky Uditz with her story, Nightmare in Van Nuys.
There were doors open along this hallway, and I saw identical rooms. Each one had an enormous bed and a flat-screen TV. This did not look like a medical establishment. It really looked like office space that used to be crammed with desks for some fly-by-night substandard insurance company or shady import-export LLC. Every television was airing the same episode of the old TV show, Gomer Pyle.
Vicky has performed stories at theaters and festivals across the U.S., including the National Storytelling Festival in Tennessee. Her story, Dancing at Joe's, aired on the Moth Radio Hour, and her story, Now You're Home, can be heard on the Risk podcast episode, Parents Are People. And now, without further ado, here's Vicky with her story, Nightmare in Van Nuys.
My kid called me on the phone. This was at the height of the pandemic, and they said, Mom, I've been reading sleep apnea is a pre-existing condition for severe COVID. I said, okay. Mom, you should get tested. Remember that time we're on that camping trip? There was that little boy in the tent next to ours. Remember how he woke up in the middle of the night, heard you snoring, thought you were a bear? Yes, that was hilarious. Mom, people who snore like you do can have sleep apnea and die. Okay. All right, so I called up my doctor, and I got a referral, and I made an appointment for the test. My kid worried. No, my kid was 24, just the two of us. My husband had died years ago. They didn't want to lose me, too. But, you know, as the day for the test approached, I found myself looking forward to it. I mean, I hadn't gone anywhere during the pandemic. This would be like a little vacay. You know, I was thinking spa vibes. I was thinking, you know, we'd all be wearing the long white bathrobes and the fuzzy slippers, and we would gather in the common room, get to know each other. I'd felt so alone. And then the techs would come in their white doctor coats and maybe serve us hot tea or hot toddies, and then off we'd go to our little beds in our private rooms. I would have brought along some appropriate reading material, maybe Raymond Chandler's The Big Sleep, and then in the morning breakfast bar, lattes and croissants. So on the big night, I hopped in my car, and I headed for my 9 p.m. appointment in Van Nuys. A lot of strip joints and dive bars. I turned onto a side street. This was the address. Ooh, a tall, dark office building. Place looked abandoned. I pulled into the parking garage. One car. I took the elevator up to the third floor, a long, vacant hallway. No signs for businesses on the doors. At the very end of the hall, number 342, it said the sleep center in teeny, tiny letters. I pushed open the door. One man sat in a swivel chair, his back to me. He was facing a console of video screens. I thought of that horror movie Cabin in the Woods. Did you see it? Where the techs monitor their victims in the rooms of the cabin on video screens before they send the zombies out to kill them. The man spun around. He sprang to his feet. He was very short. He had iron gray hair, crew cut. He was built like a bantamweight wrestler. He had on Levi's with a sharp crease. He wore a navy blue shirt buttoned to the neck. He had on a black mask, as did I, because of the virus.
I'm Paul. Paperwork?
I reached into my tote bag, I took out my completed forms, and I handed them to Paul. Let's get started. You get right to it.
I used to be in the military.
I followed Paul along a wide, dingy hallway, drab carpeting. I saw immediately we were the only two people in the place. There were no other patients, and there were no other techs. There were doors open along this hallway, and I saw identical rooms. Each one had an enormous bed and a flat-screen TV. This did not look like a medical establishment. It really looked like office space that used to be crammed with desks for some fly-by-night substandard insurance company or shady import-export LLC. Every television was airing the same episode of the old TV show, Gomer Pyle. It's been a long time since I've seen that show.
We set all the televisions a station there at Gomer Pyle, Green Acres, Gilligan's Island.
Why?
Patients find the show soothing.
But all those actors are dead.
No one thinks that. Here you go.
And here was my room. Same as the others, same big bed, TV, Gomer Pyle. But next to my bed, there was a cart with racks of wires and gadgets. Was this a scam? I mean, anybody could just rent some office space, put out beds, TVs, and then pack up, disappear without a trace if things went south.
Have a seat.
I could have left then. I could have made some lame excuse, but I thought, my doctor wouldn't refer me to a fake sleep testing center. Would he? Was he in on it? I put my tote bag on the nightstand. I sat down on the edge of the bed. Paul asked me to remove my mask. He put on latex gloves, and then he put this white goop on my face and on my scalp. He put on suction cups and electrodes. He put a strap around my chest, wires around my ankles, a clip on my finger, and the whole time he rattled off medical terms that had to do with heart rate, breathing, brain waves. Why'd you get into this line of work, Paul?
The money.
And you don't mind working nights?
Not at all. I don't like people. All right, now, if you gasp for air 9 times, I come in with a CPAP. If you need to use the restroom, press the white button on the bedside table, I come in, disconnect the wires.
He went to the door, he turned off the television. He said, lights out. He turned out the light. He went out. I lay back. I was so uncomfortable. All these wires and gadgets. The clip on my finger glowed red. There was a teeny tiny green light flashing up near the ceiling. The camera, I assumed. Paul was watching me. I understood now why in the instruction packet it had said to remain fully clothed. I had on an oversized T-shirt and leggings. I thought, oh God, I think I have to go to the bathroom. I don't want to press that white button for Paul and make him come and disconnect everything. I fidgeted, my skin crawled, my feet tingled. I checked the time on my phone every 15 minutes. I could feel every suction cup on my head. Were they pulsing? What kind of information was Paul gathering as he read my brainwaves? What kind of person took a job like this anyway? Control freak, voyeur, or worse? When Paul said he didn't like people, what did he mean by that? He said he was in the military. What did he do? Kill people? Why did he really set all the televisions to Gomer Pyle? Was he sitting there at the console watching me jerking off as gym neighbors laughed in the background? Were there dials on these electrodes? Could Paul crank up the current coursing through my body? Even a tiny jolt of electricity could be fatal. Was Paul going to throw my body in the building incinerator? Have somebody push my car off a cliff to throw the cops off the track? I'm just going to press that white button for Paul. I'm just going to do that. Like any second, I'm going to do it. I'm going to press the button. I press it, and I'm going to say something. What was stopping me? What? I knew. My entire life, I deferred to authority. I'd followed the rules. My first job, I was a cashier in a diner, also in charge of takeout. And one day, there were two people waiting for their orders, a woman for a sandwich and a man for toast. And the woman's sandwich came, and she took it away to her office in a building next door. That man's toast never came. And finally, my boss, Tina, 4'11 in heels, stormed out of the kitchen and said, Vicky, the toast was in with the sandwich. Go get that toast. I did that. I did it. I ran after toast. I let Tina completely humiliate me. Could Paul see my tears?
I startled awake. I thought, I need to live. I need to be there for my kid. I am not going to let Paul get away with his dastardly fuckery. I am going to press that, but I press the escape button. Moments later, there was Paul at the door. He turned on the light. I said, I'm done.
I have enough information to make the assessment.
What? Was I ever asleep? What time is it?
4:39 a.m.
Oh, I thought it was only Paul. Do I have sleep apnea?
Did I come in with a CPAP?
No.
Well, then.
He took off all the wires. I got in my car and I drove home. I went into my kitchen. I sat down at the kitchen table and I thought, well, my kid's going to be so happy. I took that test. I don't have sleep apnea. Or did I? Was I ever asleep? Was the whole thing bogus? I thought, well, so what? Because for the first time in my life, whether the danger was real or imaginary, I pressed the escape button!
That's it. That's our episode. I love Vicky so much. She is definitely one of the best storytellers in Los Angeles and probably the entire United States and the world. Martina, who is my wife and co-producer on the show, we both are such huge fans of Vicky. We're so happy to have her on our show. And also, we have another story that Vicky recorded on our show when her name came out of the hat, where people from the audience can put their names, and one name is drawn in every show, and then that person gets to tell a story. And Vicky told a story once that we're saving for a special hat stories episode, and it's such a good story, such a funny story. You can always, you know, we always say you can watch the video of this story on our YouTube channel, but in this particular case, do go to our YouTube and watch this story, because Vicky is such a fantastic performer. She's such a physical performer. Her face is so hilarious when she's telling a story that you really need to go watch her on our YouTube channel. Watch the video. And of course, you can find information about future shows and how to pitch your own story on our website. It's funnynowstorytelling.com. And you can find a new episode every Monday on all podcast streaming platforms and, of course, YouTube, as I was just saying. On the next episode, we have Carlos Kotkin with his story, My Second Prom.
The message was, hi, Carlos. This is Beth Mango. The reason I'm calling is I would like you to take me to my prom tomorrow night. Thank you. So I had a lot of issues with Beth Mango's message. The biggest issue I had was that I was 29 years old.
Thanks for listening. And remember, tragedy plus time, it's funny now. See you next time.